In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, sing aloud unto God our strength, and make a joyful noise unto God of Jacob. Amen. Lord be with you. And let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection May with your help, your grace, bring forth fruits thereof in our life, and conversation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And please be seated. This morning's confessional reading, continuing with the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This, then, is the article that must remain constantly in operation. For the creation lies in the past, the redemption has been accomplished also, but the Holy Spirit is at work without intermission until the very last day. It is for the unbroken continuation of this ongoing work that he has established his community on earth. Through it, he speaks all his word and does all his work. For he has not yet finished gathering all his Christian people or dispensing the forgiveness of sins. We therefore put our trust in him who daily draws us into this Christian community through the word and gives increase and strengthens our faith by means of that word and its forgiveness of sins. Then, when everything is accomplished and we have continued in his word to the end, die in the world and all of its evil, he will finally make us perfectly and eternally holy. We are now waiting in faith for this to be accomplished by means of the word. Notice that in the creed you have God's entire essence, his will, his work described in sharpest detail, and in very short yet richly significant words. All our wisdom is based on them, a wisdom far above human wisdom, thought, and reason. For although the entire world has most carefully sought to understand the nature and the mind and the activity of God, it has no success in this whatever. But here in the Creed, it is all given to you in rich measure. For in these three articles, God himself has revealed and disclosed the deepest extent of the Father's heart, his sheer inexpressible love. He created us for the very purpose that he might redeem us and make us holy. And besides giving and entrusting to us everything in heaven and on earth, he has given us his Son and his Holy Spirit in order to bring us to himself through them. For, as we explained earlier, we were totally unable to come to a recognition of the Father's favor and grace except through the Lord Christ, who is the mirroring image of the Father's heart. Without Christ, we see nothing in God but angry and a terrible judge. But we could know nothing above Christ either if it were not revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So far the Old Testament. The Epistle, 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there be three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not in the record that God gave us his Son. So far, the epistle. please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into those prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then after 8 days again the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors still being shut, stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And then Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen, and yet believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So far the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 352. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon is based upon this morning's gospel reading, John 20. The sermon theme is building of the faith. Please be seated. The power of the risen Savior is especially evident in his rebuilding of the faith of his fearful disciples. The disciples were filled with fear, doubt. We are told the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews. You see, the disciples had truly believed that Jesus Christ was indeed the promised Messiah. They had not been afraid when Jesus was with them. But now things had changed. The leaders of the people took Jesus and crucified him as a common criminal. The disciples were unable to cope with all the fears that had crowded in on them so quickly. Even when they began to hear rumors on Easter day about his resurrection, they were afraid to be sure of anything. They locked the doors, they stayed together, and they were simply waiting to see what would happen. Well, Jesus knew their fears, and he came to help them just as he promised. Suddenly, without any of the doors being opened, Jesus stood in the middle of his disciples. He showed them his hands and his side. He wanted them to be sure that their loving Savior, who had died on the cross, was really alive. And he rebuilt their faith, their faltering faith. The disciples were now firmly convinced that Jesus Christ was indeed their living Savior. Unfortunately, as we know, all the disciples were not present at that moment. Thomas was absent. So naturally, when the other disciples saw Thomas, they told him about the wonderful appearance of Christ. But Thomas was stubborn. He was stubborn in his unbelief. And no matter how much the others tried to assure him that Jesus was alive, he refused to believe. Not only did he refuse to believe, but he demanded special proof of that resurrection. He insisted that he wanted to see the prints of the nails in his hands, and he wanted to put his fist in the side of Christ. Thomas was really going to be hard to convince. Fortunately, Jesus was patient with Thomas and gave him the proof that he demanded. A week later, the disciples were gathered together again, Thomas being with them this time, and again Jesus miraculously appeared among them. And Jesus particularly showed himself to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, come here. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believe." Well, the only thing that Thomas could say was, "My Lord and my God." You see, Jesus gave Thomas the proof that he wanted, and he rebuilt his faith. He was convinced that Jesus Christ was really now true God and Savior. Well, not everyone gets to see Jesus as the disciples did, especially Thomas. However, is it necessary in order to believe? For the strengthening of faith, Jesus adds these few but very important words, and listen to these words very carefully. He said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." That's us. You see, the power of the risen Savior is shown in his ability to create and strengthen faith in those who do not see. Thousands of people living in fear because of their sins, have heard the witness of the word, and they believe in the risen Savior without seeing. They do not see Jesus alive, but they believe the word of God. In the days of darkness and fear, The risen Savior will show his power in our lives by rebuilding and strengthening our faith. This wonderful faith which we have in the risen Savior is not just a historical or academic faith, it's a personal faith. A wonderful faith which we have in the risen Savior. The risen Savior brings peace, brings us joy. St. Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Each time Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said, peace be unto you. And this peace is not the kind of peace that we retain by living in this world. This is an inner peace of the heart, an inner peace of the mind, which is so needed today. You see, the disciples did not have smooth sailing all the time. They were faced with many difficulties. Many were beaten, all but one, that is St. John, was martyred. But they knew that God loved them and that he was directing their lives no matter what was happening at the moment. They realized and believed that God is with them. You see, the power of the risen Savior in our lives is not that he removes all sorrows, but that in the midst of difficulties, we can be sure that he is taking care of us. I'll repeat that in a moment. I think we're all aware of some of the members of both congregations are facing some serious situations health-wise. Now, let me tell you this. There will be days, perhaps weeks, when doubts will strike. I say this because it happened to me. But the only thing that overcame those doubts was getting back into the Word of God, gaining my strength. Once again, the power of the risen Savior in our lives is not that he removes all of our sorrows, no, but that in the midst of these difficulties, we can be sure that he is taking care of us. You see, when the peace of God enters our hearts, the storms are not removed, but the presence of the risen Savior removes our fears of them. And when fear is removed, joy enters our hearts. Our text says, when the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The risen Savior gives purpose to our lives. Jesus said to his disciples, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Even when the physical presence of Jesus would be removed from them, his direction would not be gone, because the Holy Spirit would be dwelling in the hearts of the disciples as the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts this very morning. The Holy Ghost would guide them into all truth. This is a promise that comes from Almighty God himself. The promise is also ours. The Holy Ghost comes to us in God's word. Jesus said then, as he does now, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, the risen Savior assures us that the Holy Ghost will also direct our lives through the word of God. And listen again closely to the closing words of this morning's gospel. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You see, our redemption caused Jesus' agonies beyond number. But it costs us absolutely nothing. He gave his life for us, and yet we give nothing to be assured of his redemption, because he paid our debt to the Father to the very last penny. Our accounts are cleared. Here is the highest mercy. For our salvation, we need only to believe, only to take Christ at his word, trust him as our God and Savior, come to him confessing our sins, and build our hope for forgiveness solely on his blood and his righteousness. And then by this faith, we are Christ's. And the countless blessings that he offers are ours, free. Forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, comfort, joy. May the message of our risen Savior strengthen our faith and fill our hearts with peace and joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Since our offering has been received, let us sing the first two stanzas of We Give Thee But Thine Own. Pray for our communicants, but first let's have a private prayer for whatever you feel you want to pray about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto the souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly feasts, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and has taken away the sins of the world, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising again to life has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Thank you. Just do it often. You drink it. Be a member of it.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Nice to see everybody out. Beautiful Minnesota morning.